Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh, yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Still employed. Good to get to have my health and my job. And this project, which we call the DivCow Podcast, it's, there are moments where you appreciate what you do have, and this is one of those moments as we prepare for another NFL draft preview for you. Tonight on the program, we are joined by our friend Ron in New Jersey, who you know from the football picks, and among other ventures, and I look forward to breaking down the draft with him. Before we start tonight... Big news this morning, ESPN laid off about 100 people today, and that included 50 fairly well-known, and in some cases very well-known, contributors. They were writers, they were on-air personalities. I mean, it was a bloodbath today, man. And, you know, we all kind of tweak ESPN. We can't stand ESPN. They think they've been so arrogant. But not today. This has been a very, very humbling day for the worldwide leader. And, you know, this is going to require to really get into the complete, to really cover this completely, the layoffs of many, many high-profile personalities and many people we don't know about, you know, staffers, producers, and guys behind the scenes. I mean, dark day. Some of the ones laid off, Danny Cannell, Len Elmore, who was doing some college basketball analysis, former general manager Jim Bowden, I think, and everybody knows this guy, NFL reporter Ed Werder, who we saw covering Brett Favre throughout much of his career, and the Dallas Cowboys. He just follows him and Romo around, or he did for a while, not anymore. And one that hit me pretty hard was Jason Stark, who has been covering baseball for a very long time at ESPN, and I really enjoyed him coming on many different shows. Baseball Tonight among them, including the Baseball Tonight podcast, which is relatively new compared to the TV show. And he was always good with fun stats. He was a fun guy. He seemed to always have good stories. That one hurt. That hurt. I mean, Stark was great, is great, and it sucks to see him go. And that just tells you how much ESPN is bleeding money right now. It's sad. It's just like, I'm not going to go, oh, ho, ho, ESPN, they get what they deserve. Yes, it's not really the time to pound them right now. This is tough. And again, as I was saying, to really cover this completely, it really requires a complete show. I would have to get Kevin on the Cape on to really give us a real perspective on how broadcast media works and where things went wrong. And I mean, the basics of it is that ESPN kept really pushing the envelope with the carriage fees. I mean, they were getting above $5. I think it was even like $9 at one point, which means that $9 out of everybody's cable bill went to one series of channels. And like 3/4 of the people paying cable bills aren't even watching the channel. So there's no way anybody could expect that to be sustainable beyond maybe about 15 years, and that's where we are today. So just getting ridiculous, part one. Part two, they were putting just way too much money into these bloated NFL contracts, bloated NBA coverage contracts, and they had to cut the fat somewhere. I mean, it wasn't taken, and they were losing subscribers, and they have to pay these hefty contracts. So clearly, that could not last, just as any finance expert would tell you. So sad day, and you know, this is the end result. And I don't know where ESPN goes from here. They still got some of their big personalities, but certainly times are tense over at the worldwide leader. So that's where we start. It's unusual timing for this, because tomorrow ESPN has their NFL draft coverage, which they've been doing for well over 30, 30 years, maybe about 35 years at this point. And so it's weird, but let's not waste any time. We've got a lot of draft picks to cover, and we do our own coverage. Fortunately, we're all here. Let's hit it. Let's hit it. I don't know why I did that, but let's bring in our friend. We're not even doing a week. We're not even doing picks or anything, but let's go bring in Ron in New Jersey, who joined us now on the program. Ron, it's great to have you back. How's it going tonight?
Dave, how the hell are you, buddy?
I am great. Good to have my health and questionable health at this point. I just had Lowry's last night, but I'm
and
good.
You have a job, so.
Yeah, no, that's key. And you do, too. And that's good news for us all. Yeah, I gosh, you know, it was a brutal day for ESPN. I mean, I don't think I've ever really seen anything like it. A power that big getting its ass kicked, basically, with these financial issues. So what can you even say?
Yeah, I read somewhere, a rumor, I guess it was, or, you know, a conspiracy theory or something, that they decided to do it today, knowing that it was the eve of the draft tomorrow, and that, you know, the coverage wouldn't be as big within the sports world with everything going on. But I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, it sucks for everybody who lost their job. Danny Cannell, you know, especially, you know, for our shows in the, you know, the summer and the fall time with college football. I mean, he's one of the best out there. So anxious to see where he ends up, and, you know, definitely keep an eye on that.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question. I mean, that's what really hurts about this. Like, the guys that they took out, they didn't take out Stephen A. Smith. They didn't take out Max Kellerman. They didn't take out a lot of clowns who really have no business being on the network. They took out some pretty good guys, and that's what really kills me about much of this. And even Bob Lee, you could tell he was visibly shaken. If you saw the clip from outside the lines today, he basically closed with a tribute to all the ones who left the network. And what really makes this very, very evil is a point I raised earlier today, where I said, you know, if John Saunders, who died before the start of last year's college football season, if you're still alive today doing basically that capacity, basically doing what he does, do you think he could have been taken out too by these layoffs? And I think he might have. That's the worst part of all.
I think there probably would have been a good chance that he would have been one of the ones who were cut. So
yeah.
Definitely a dark day for ESPN.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, I mean, to have this happen, it's an interesting viewpoint that you have, that you raise, not your viewpoint necessarily, but an interesting viewpoint that this could have been done almost because of the upcoming draft tomorrow, to bring more attention to the network. I wouldn't put it past them to do that, but either way, it's certainly not going to be the same. I mean, they're going to be guys on that NFL draft coverage that won't be a part of it tomorrow, and that's just weird. So, anyway, well, I don't know what you can even say. Again, it's just tough. It's, you know, would Brett Musburger have survived? No, that would have been kind of extreme. That would have been ridiculous. But maybe he left at a good time. But it does make you think about that, too. Like, you know, like guys like Chris Berman and Musburger suddenly started retiring. It seems like they have gas left in the tank, at least in the case of Brent. I think it was mostly his decision, but I think there could have been just the idea that he was given less to do, so he just said, forget this, I'm just move on to my own thing. So, we'll see.
You know what the worst part about it is, Dave, is that they fired, you know, however many people, 70, you know, 100, whatever the number is, yet they hired Rex Ryan to join the Sunday Countdown.
Exactly. That's the crime of it all. It's not, it's just the people they kept, the people that they added. It's just.
There is no God.
There really is. Oh, you got me going. That's funny. Oh, God, that's going to be awful. I can't believe it. ESPN is such a joke. Coming. I can't get over that. Wow.
You wonder, you know, they fire all these people, yet they have studio shows with 10, 11, 12 guys on them. I mean, it's insane. And I don't know how the local ESPN radio is by you, but up here, I mean, every single show they have three or four guys on a radio show. I mean, it's you know, Michael Case, the Yankees announcer, he started off his show just him.
Right.
And then, you know, he added another guy, Don LaGreca. And now they added a hip-hop guy who is an announcer on the local, rap station. So they're up to three guys for the Michael Kay show. I mean, I don't know. If you're cutting money, I mean, there's plenty of cuts that they didn't do that could be done easily, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another good example today that was pointed out, they're like, why'd they cut all these guys and Mike are still around? I mean, come
on. Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, they're on their way out anyway, though, but still.
Yeah, yeah. And the one guy's son is employed by ESPN now, Golic Jr. I mean, what a shit show ESPN is.
I know. Just a disgrace. So, geez, I mean, to think that they're going to try to rebuild credibility after this, that's going to be an uphill battle for them for quite some time. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's get into the meat of our topic tonight, and that is the NFL draft. And I think you already mentioned last year that you watch the NFL Network for their coverage anyway, that you feel that it's better.
Right.
And, you know, this is just more ammo for them. So we look at it, and they're going to have the draft this year in a very unusual location. They're going to be in the Ben Franklin Parkway. And
yep.
I haven't figured out the entirety of the setup. Apparently there's a theater, but is this thing going to be indoors? Is it going to be outdoors? Because they didn't really, I don't know where exactly they're going to put it.
Well, Dave, I actually, I have some insight on that because a couple weeks ago I took the kids to the Philadelphia Zoo.
Okay.
So on the way home, we actually passed by where they were setting it up. And what it's going to be, it's right outside the, like you said, the Ben Franklin Park. They have an art museum there. So inside that art institute or museum or wherever it is going to be where the actual draft takes place.
Okay.
So it's going to be indoors, but outside of that, they have a separate podium and seating for all the fans. So it's right on the lawn of the building where the draft is going to be at. So it actually looks pretty cool. I mean, it's right against the parkway there. So the visuals are going to be pretty cool. Supposedly the weather's going to be good the next couple of days, so they really lucked out on that one. But it's definitely a cool scene, a cool atmosphere for the draft after having it in Chicago for a couple of years. I kind of like the idea of them moving it around and, you know, bringing it to different cities. I think that's it's a neat little thing that they decided to do.
Yeah, this location is particularly unique. I mean, it's very different from anything I've seen before. So they've shut down a lot of streets today in preparation for tomorrow's event. So, you know, Philadelphia is well prepared for the people coming in. And I think they're on top of it, so it should go well. And they'll have the whole thing. They even have a fan fest, which I've never heard of before for a draft. I mean, you see baseball doing fan fest for the draft, but you get the idea.
Yeah, people love it though, and that's the crazy thing about it. I mean, they have these cities now bidding to host it. I know Chicago didn't pay a thing, the NFL didn't pay Chicago a penny to move the draft there. Chicago fitted the bill, and you know, I guess it was so successful. Now you have different cities all over the country trying to get it. So, you know, people are turning out for them. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's wound up being a very successful move for the NFL, and certainly the kind of success they need at the moment, because we heard about how the TV ratings fell off a little bit. I mean, we talk about NFL ratings falling, but they're still really good. I mean, it's not like they're suddenly fighting for market share with Food Network, you know, it's not that bad. But as far as the draft, the draft board this year, it's going to be a little different this time because there's literally no standout obvious number one pick. There's going to be a number one pick made, and I think it'll be everyone's projection, but it's not the kind of draft where you can say, oh, this guy is like the number one guy, and this guy's the number two guy, and this guy's the number three guy. you didn't have that situation where you had, you know, Mariota and Winston at the top at the quarterbacks, and actually both of them are doing okay, doing a pretty good job actually. But there isn't anything like that this year. It's just going to be mostly about depth, a lot of defensive players. What do you see in this draft class? There's a lot of good talent here, but there isn't. I don't see anything like slam dunk. This is the number one guy, and it's an absolute must draft. Although the guy at the top, I think, is Myles Garrett, who is deserving of the position. But I wonder how you would compare this field with other fields of draft past.
Well, you know, Myles Garrett, I think, in my opinion, is by far and away the number one pick in the draft, just because, you know, I guess the guy you can compare him to is Jadeveon Clowney, who, you know, coming out of college, you know, it was a clear-cut number one and, you know, was a beast. And Garrett's the same way, but, you know, it's funny, I was watching NFL Network before, and they had Mike Mayock did his draft tonight, and his mock draft, and you know, he said something I agree with. He said that it's the most muddled first round that he could ever remember in covering the draft, because you have Garrett and then you have basically, you know, prospects 2 to 50 are all generally rated the same. So this is a draft that has a ton of depth. Especially at positions like cornerback, safety, edge rusher, tight end, running back. It's really deep. You can get a really good player in the second, third, fourth round. You could argue you could get someone who has just as much upside in those rounds as you can picking, you know, in the top 10, which is it's pretty unprecedented, you know. From what I can remember, I can't remember a draft like this. So you have that, and then on top of that, you have a ton of the top guys this year have either an injury concern or an off-the-field issue. So you have boards that are probably all mixed up, and, you know, one team probably has a guy in the top five who might be, you know, off the board completely for another team. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the draft, but it's definitely got a lot of depth and probably one of the better overall classes that we've seen in the past few years.
Yeah, and I think what's really nice for the teams at the top is that all of them are so bad that you could literally pick anybody and they'd be fine. Like, you know, I was just thinking, like, the Browns, good example, although they will pick Garrett because he's, as you mentioned, the consensus number one. But 49ers, Bears, Jaguars, Titans, your Jets, Chargers, Panthers. Yep. Many of these guys have multiple positions that they need to fill. So it's not as if that they have to set their sights on a specific position or draft a guy based on their actual need, because their actual needs are multiple things. Like, they need a lot of things. Bears, they need everybody. Like, they need offense. They need receivers. Yeah. They need defensive guys. I mean, they stink. They need anybody that's at the top. So it's good for it's a good situation then, because you know, at least when you make the pick, you're probably not going to make a huge mistake. And that's really good news for the teams in the top 10.
Yeah, and you know, all those teams that you mentioned, or at least the teams at the top, the Browns, Jaguars, Bears, 49ers, Jets, the one thing they all have in common is they all need quarterbacks. And, you know, in any other draft year, you know, where there would be a decent group of quarterbacks, you'd probably see them be the first, you know, four or five, six picks, if there's that many out there. But, you know, this year they're just not there. So you're right. I mean, they're going to have to take the best player. I mean, all those teams, they have so many holes, they could take the best player available, and it's probably going to be a safe pick. And, you know, it all depends on what their draft board looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as quarterbacks go, you know, it's a pretty underwhelming class overall. I do think Deshaun Watson is the truth. I think that guy's actually, the guy's going to wind up being a very good NFL player. After that, I really don't have much confidence in any of these guys. And the one that gets talked up the most is Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. And listen, look, first of all, I think he needs to play more. He needs to play more at North Carolina, but he's going to go out and he's going to try to get drafted. But I didn't see a lot of this guy, but he just looks, from what I saw, he looked like he can get the ball downfield, but the dude is like so prone to turnovers. I just think that this is a trap, and it looks like the Browns are trying so hard to get him, which is just bad news. I mean, Browns fans just can't, the Browns can't get out of their own way. But I wanted to get your feel for what the quarterback class looked like, too. Are some of these other quarterbacks going to be a difference maker in the draft? And we don't really know, but I'd be interested to hear what you think about the quarterbacks beyond just Deshaun Watson and where they could go.
Right, and, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head with Trubisky. And I've been saying this since he came out. The guy he reminds me of the most is Mark Sanchez. He's a guy who, you know, only started 1 year in college. He's a guy who, you know, when you look at the measurables and stuff like that, he's average. He has average size, average arm, average production in college. I don't see where the, you know, top quarterback status is with him. I just don't, I'll be the first to admit, I didn't get to watch a lot of North Carolina football this year, but the last image I have of that team was their Sun Bowl game against Stanford, and he looked like dog shit in that game. So that's the lasting impression I got of him. I just don't see it with him. I guess these draft experts, I mean, they see something that I don't trust them. I wouldn't take him in the first round. I'm with you. I love Deshaun Watson. And the one thing you know about him is, you know, you're going to get some bad throws. You're going to get some turnovers, but he's a kid who, overcame, a knee injury, got hit like you couldn't believe in both title games against Alabama. And he stood in and tore up their defense, which is, you know, on par with an NFL defense. So, I love Watson. I love what he could do. He was the best thrower at the combine, the most natural thrower. He has speed. Everybody thought he was going to come in smaller and lighter than Trubisky, and they're the same size. So I don't get why he's not getting more love than he is. And outside of that, I guess the only other guy who I would think, you know, could be a big-time player down the road is Mahomes out of Texas Tech. And it's simply because he's a good athlete. He's probably got the best arm out of anybody in the draft. I think you put him on a team like Arizona or Kansas City where he could sit for a year or two and actually learn the offense, you know, coming out of that spread at Texas Tech. I think you could have a real winner there. The other kid who gets mentioned as possibly going in the first round, Deshaun Kizer from Notre Dame, he's another kid. I mean, you look at what he did this year. He's so inconsistent. It seems like when he gets hit, he gets down and he just suffers and sulks. There's a lot of talk about him being a diva and, arrogant in the pre-draft interviews and stuff like that. He's another guy I wouldn't touch. In the first round, if I was a GM, I'm not even sure if I'd take him in the second round. So, I mean, you got a lot of question marks at quarterback this year. There's no sure thing, that's for sure. And if you look at it from the prospect side, you know, if I'm a kid like Deshaun Watson, I'm kind of hoping that I don't get taken in the top 10 by one of these teams like the Browns or Bears. I'm hoping that I drop down to, you know, maybe the 20s and go to a team like Kansas City or Houston, something like that, where you can actually join a team that's pretty good as it is and just needs you to come in and run their offense. And you saw last year with Dak Prescott, I think that's the ideal situation for the quarterbacks coming out now. So I think if you see Watson fall and he gets taken somewhere in the 20s, it's probably going to be for the benefit of his career.
Yeah, it may work. That would be a really nice break for him. Just staying out of the Browns alone is a big break.
Right. Yeah.
I was telling my friends yesterday, like the Browns, I was telling them today, the Browns are just like 0-9 in their last quarterback picks, and some of it's not their fault, but some of it is their fault. I mean, nobody thought that it was wise to pick Johnny Manziel that high in the draft. I mean, he was already showing signs that he's so little, you know, all that business. And then he wound up being a complete nut job, and he was he was a loose, not necessarily a loose cannon, but he was just completely undisciplined. Just the dude was just not focused on football, and but that was clearly correctable, and they decided to go with it anyway because they were just attracted literally to his bling. So I was thinking, like, if you're the Browns, maybe just stay out of the quarterback selections for a while. But on the other hand, you do need a quarterback to become good someday. So I don't know what to do, what they're going to do. It's just bizarre.
You know, Dave, teams like the Browns and the Jets who keep taking quarterbacks and they keep stinking, it really comes down to it's the constant turnovers within the franchise. You know, the Browns have had, what, like 3 owners in the past 10 years, 4 or 5 different coaches. So there's never a real feel there or a real chance for these quarterbacks to come in and actually establish themselves and get get comfortable in a system. Even the Jets, I mean, they've had a new coach every 3 years. So, and whenever you bring in a new regime, it's always the same thing. They want their own guy. They want to pick their own quarterback. So a lot of the success that the quarterbacks have in the draft depends on what team and what situation they go into. And, you know, quite frankly, until the Browns and the Jets and teams like that show stability, it's just not a good look for a quarterback to go there.
Yeah, I'm not into it. You know, it's one of those scenarios where I think the team and the franchise has to prove it to you before you can start to believe in them. And I imagine Browns fans feel the same way. So they've got a lot of work to do. In the meanwhile, they can at least pick some solid competition, solid players to create good competition, and we'll see where that ends up. That's probably it as far as evaluating the board. I am looking at some of these mock draft predictions from people at the NFL Network, and I am seeing some very interesting trends. But man, they are drafting Mitch Trubisky way too high. But I get, you know, what do we know, Ron? What do we know about this? You know, who knows? Anyway, yeah,
you know what they say, though, and I've heard this a million times in the past couple months, if a team loves a quarterback, then you got to take him in the first round. So if whatever they see on film makes them think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a franchise quarterback, then you got to take him. If you're picking in the first round, you get an extra year on the contract. It's a controllable contract. So, I guess that's why we're not NFL GMs and we're not as smart as these guys. But I wouldn't take him anywhere near the top of the draft. But hey, that's why the Browns are the Browns.
That is why the Browns are the Browns. And this is definitely if I'm reading this correctly, these guys are picking, or these predictions have him being picked ahead of Deshaun Watson, which I think is ridiculous. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see. Yep. Do you think there are any possible draft day trades? Do you anticipate that any teams would trade away their top draft pick just to get lower so you can get more depth or to get more picks or something like that?
You know, I think all the teams in the top 10 want to trade back. Somebody brought that up on the board today, and you know, my point is that you can't snap your fingers and say you want to trade back because it takes two teams to do it. And that other team who's actually trading up has to want somebody that's slipping or falling or something like that. And this is a draft that I just don't see the value there like that because, like I said before, you know, prospects 2 to 50 – to me all have similar or equal value. So there's not going to be like last year how Laramie Tunsil fell because of the weed thing and teams are trying to trade up for him. I don't think that's going to happen in this draft. So I think the trades are going to be at a minimum. I think if anything, you're going to see the Browns probably trade up because they have so many picks if they want to get that quarterback, whether it's Trubisky or Watson. Outside of that, I think it's going to be pretty hard to find someone to trade back with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, you know, it's just, what are you going to do, trade from 20 to 5? I mean, there's almost no difference between the 20th guy and the 5 guy in this particular class.
Yeah.
So let's see about that class itself. It's time for our mock predictions, and this is where our friend Ron in New Jersey shines. This will be exciting to see what he's thinking. Now, remember, when we do these mock predictions, this is not who we think they should pick. This is who we think that they are going to pick. So it's a there are two different things. So we can always add our own analysis as to whether this is a good idea or not. And this will come up from time to time tonight with the Browns. They do have a lot of picks in the first round. It's funny. So let's begin with the first round and the first pick in this a most unusual location tomorrow or today as you listen to the podcast. So the Browns are on the board. And this is not wasting any time. We know they're going to pick Myles Garrett. And, Ron, anything you have as far as comments on him?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I think he's the safest pick. I know Warren Sapp came out this week and said that he doesn't have the tape of a dominant player, but, you know, who gives a shit what Warren Sapp says, you know? He's been he lost credibility a long time ago. Right. So Myles Garrett's the safest thing in this draft. I think he's going to go number one.
All right, so the second pick is the 49ers. And again, I asked some 49er fans today, which would be Coach and Rosales, and they both pretty much they both said the same thing. They just pick a guy. Like they just, as long as you pick somebody competent and you can in this draft, they can't lose. So let's see what you think they will do with this second overall draft pick. All right, Ron?
Well, that's why this this draft is so crazy because, you know, every other year that we've done this, Dave, I mean, we've at least had, you know, an idea where, if the, you know, the first team takes, you know, player A, that the second pick is going to be player B. This year, I mean, it could go a million different ways with the 49ers, which is it's crazy to think of. I saw a lot of rumors that they like Fournette. But in my opinion, it's going to come down to Solomon Thomas, the defensive end from Stanford, and Jamal Adams, the safety from LSU, two defensive guys who can make an impact day one. I think they go Solomon Thomas from Stanford, just because it's kind of hard to justify taking a safety at number two. I think if you pair Thomas with the two tackles that they drafted the past couple years with Armstead and DeForest Buckner, I think you have you're making that defensive line one of the best in the league, and that's a starting point for a franchise that needs an identity, you know, needs a strong identity somewhere on their team. So I think they take Solomon Thomas.
Yeah, I like it. I like that pick a lot, and I'm going to go with him with Thomas as well. He happens to be from Stanford, so that is also another bonus if people care about that sort of thing. He plays in the area, so that should be a good pick. I think it'll be a solid pick. If then I don't really see any reason not to take him. It's a, like you said, like having a safety that high in the draft, he's going to have to be exceptional. I don't know if we're necessarily putting even a guy like Jamal Adams in that category. So, but he'll get picked pretty quickly here. So let's go to the next team. Chicago. Now, this is a team that might take Jamal Adams. We'll see how that goes. But they also have some cornerback selections that they can take. Clearly, they were getting burned on pass coverage passes last year, all year. But again, they can pick a lot of guys here, and they should be fine. The only thing I would say is, like, I think they should pick a defensive guy because their defense is just pitiful. So let's see what you think of the Chicago's pick. Where do you have them going?
Yeah, I think they're going to take Jamal Adams if he's there at number three. He's a leader. He's an impact player right away. They need someone down that middle of the defense. Like you said, they got picked on last year in the passing game. To me, the cornerback, Lattimore from Ohio State, he's just got too many injury concerns to take him at number three. So I think they go Jamal Adams.
Well, that is true. I mean, I remember him getting hurt, but I think the Bears are going to say that he's got enough upside where that's probably not going to be as big of a deal. We'll see. But I think in my mock draft, I have the Bears taking Lattimore at cornerback. So we will see who ends up taking Adams in the Dave mock draft. Stay tuned for that. So let's go to the fourth team. And that's the Jaguars. And again, they can pick any of a number of players. It's just astounding that they did draft some what we thought were some pretty decent guys. And they were hideous. They fired their coach. I mean, he was gone. Gus Bradley didn't make it through the season. So, man, it's a good any number of ways. How do you have it, Ron?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a quarterback here, if Deshaun Watson actually ended up here, but I don't think that's going to happen. It wouldn't shock me, though. That's something I'll throw out there, you know, to watch tomorrow. If they take a quarterback at number four, I would not be shocked, but I think they're going to take Leonard Fournette, and I think Tom Coughlin is going to take him and basically say that, you know, we give this guy the ball 30 times a game. Maybe it improves Blake Bortles' overall efficiency. Maybe it opens up the passing game a little bit more. So I see them taking Fournette.
I'm with you on that one. I think that they have a lot of offensive talent. They have some good receivers. And I think even people think Blake Bortles can be a pretty capable quarterback. I'm not sure. Not everybody agrees with that. I think even people in our panel don't agree with that. But you know, certainly he's had moments where he's been good in the last couple seasons. So I think their offense is probably not going to be priority. So I will have, I mean, sorry, the receiving, the passing is not a priority. But the rushing is. They really have a terrible running back. I'm just thinking, who is their running back? And I was thinking,
Chris Ivory. It was Chris Ivory. T.J. Yeldon.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Chris Ivory's broken down. T.J. Yeldon looks mediocre at best. So
yeah,
they definitely need a running back there.
And they paid, like, how much for that guy? Like, a lot of money for Ivory.
They gave Ivory a ton of money, yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, that's not a good move. So I think they'll go for Nat in this one as well. So let's go to team number five. That's the Titans. Showed some good signs last year, so we know that Mariota is here to stay. I think he may need some. Well, again, this is one where I think this could go of multiple ways. So let's give it to you. Who do you have the Titans picking at number five?
Well, I'll just say this. I think this is the spot where the Browns are going to trade up to. I would probably give that a 95% chance of happening, that the Browns will trade up here and take Trubisky. I think the Titans want to move back. I think the Browns want to get over the Jets to take him. But for the sake of our mock draft, I'll keep no trades on here. So if the Titans stay there, I think in this scenario, they probably take Marshawn Lattimore, the cornerback from Ohio State, since he's probably the best player available. They need secondary help. They have another second round pick where they could, or a second first round pick where they could pick up a receiver. So I see them going Marshawn Lattimore.
Well, I had Lattimore going a little earlier in the draft to the Bears, so I'm going to flip-flop that, and I'll go with Jamal Adams as the Titans' fifth overall selection in this year's draft. So now let's get to your team, the Jets. And, you know, again, I think there could be in a good position here. Do you think they may be tempted to pick a quarterback? Where do you think the Jets will go with pick number six?
You know, I wrote this earlier today. I think there's two ways this – actually, there's more than two ways that this draft pick goes. I don't buy the quarterback talk. I mean, if they pick a quarterback, you're basically admitting that, you know, the guy you wasted a second-round pick on last year, Christian Hackenberg, is a complete failure. But, you know, they're the Jets. So if they take a quarterback, it wouldn't shock me. But I'm of the opinion that they think Hackenberg is the real deal, or at least workable with for a year until maybe they get a high draft pick next year and look for one of the quarterbacks in 2018. So if they're looking at it that way, I think the pick's going to be O.J. Howard, the tight end from Alabama. And I think it's going to be that because even though they have holes all over the roster, especially on defense, I think there's a draft that's deep enough in the spots where they need help, where they feel like they could get, you know, a starter level player in the second and third rounds for those defensive spots. And I think their line of thinking is going to be that O.J. Howard can be a check down, a safety valve, a reliable target for Hackenberg when he starts eventually for the Jets. And he can also help block on the line. You know, he's going to, in their mind, I think he's going to help Hackenberg develop, or at least, you know, be one of the guys who he can count on. So I think they go O.J. Howard from Alabama.
That's a good pick, and I think, among other things, the Jets really were struggling to find people to pass the ball to. And one of the guys they could pass the ball to got hurt, and then he didn't play the rest of the year, Eric Decker. So this is a good pick, because even though usually you don't see a tight end pick this high, this guy is pretty exceptional. I mean, he's had some really big plays, and you certainly heard from him in the national championship game. So this is solid. I think they'll get him too. O.J. Howard from Alabama. So let's go to the seventh pick. Goes to the Chargers. They now play in Los Angeles, although you may not know it with the number of times that they're going to be airing simultaneous with the Rams this year, three times this year they're going to do that. So this hidden team has many, many problems, but it sounds like the defense is the biggest issue here for San Diego. So where do you think the Chargers could go to fix their many ails?
I think they're going to take Malik Hooker, the safety out of Ohio State, if he's there. You know, they definitely need somebody on the back end. They're pretty good cornerbacks, but the middle of the field back there is just garbage. So, yeah, I think they'll take Malik Hooker, if he's there, the second Ohio State secondary player to be taken in the top 10, and he should be a pretty solid pick for them.
Yep, I think it's a big need. Safety is definitely an area they were getting burned last year. So it's a solid pick, and I actually have the same one, so I have Malik Hooker. I'm not sure if I'm going to have picks for all these, because this gets pretty deep. Like, we're getting into players that we didn't see a whole lot of at some point.
Right.
But we'll see. Now, the eighth pick, I feel like it's a pretty big layup. Let's see if you have it the same way. Who do you have the Panthers selecting?
I think that you're going to take Christian McCaffrey, the running back from Stanford. You know, they're definitely in the market for a running back. They need to give Cam Newton help. And the new running back coach at Carolina is his position coach from Stanford. So I think they would have taken Fournette if he fell, but I think they'll take Christian McCaffrey and be very happy with it.
That's excellent, and I feel the same way. I think what really works for McCaffrey is that not only is he great at running the ball, he's so fast, but he can catch, and that's a big asset in that offense. I mean, I think it fits perfectly with Cam Newton and what he does, and I think it's going to be a great fit.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you think about how much it succeeded the past couple of years with basically no weapons around Cam Newton outside of Greg Olsen. You know, the wide receivers are average at best. The running backs of Jonathan Stewart is slowed down. So you put a guy like that with Cam Newton, and, you know, watch out.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the best they could do for receivers, like actual wide receivers, with Ted Ginn Jr., like, that's not impressive. So this this will be a big help, needless to say.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get to the next pick, and it goes to the Bengals. And, it's funny that the Bengals have defensive needs, because I used to think of their defense as pretty good, pretty talented anyway. So that's an interesting thing to think about. Let's see what you have the Bengals doing, and it's pick number 9.
Well, I think in my mock draft that we're doing now, Jonathan Allen, the defensive tackle from Alabama, has fallen. And when the draft process started, he was considered, almost 1A with Miles Garrett. There's some concerns raised over his shoulders. Apparently he has arthritic shoulders, so that's dropped him a little bit. But I think the Bengals love their Alabama player, so I think they'll take him and plug him in to be a day one starter at defensive tackle.
Yeah, I think it's a definite position of need, so Foster's a natural selection. So we'll go with Foster as well, and that's the Bengals. Let's go to the 10th pick. Really rifling through these tonight. Buffalo Bills, and this could be... I don't really know what they're going to do with this, so let's give it to you first. Who do you have the Bills selecting at number 11?
I think they'll take Mike Williams, the wide receiver from Clemson. They need somebody to help out with Sammy Watkins. Robert Woods left this offseason. They just lost one of their running backs, their third down back, Gillis Lee, to the Patriots. I think they should start adding weapons around Tyrod Taylor if he's truly their quarterback of the future. So I see them taking Mike Williams from Clemson.
Yeah, I think that's going to help a lot. Because if you just have Watkins, because Watkins just gets hurt frequently anyway, so more help in wide receiver is going to be a big help for Buffalo. And, you know, I know that people were not big on their quarterback, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. Tyrod Taylor, I think.
Tyrod Taylor.
And people just wanted to shit on the guy. And, look, he's not that good, but he's also not that bad. And I think maybe with more help, this could be something that the Bills can do. They don't have to worry about Rex Ryan anymore, so he's not undermining the offense, which he has done for years with two teams.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. So, do you think that the Bills could end up having tangible improvement on offense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, Tyrod Taylor burned the Jets again and again. So, you know, I probably have a better opinion of him than most. But, I mean, he is what he is. He's a mobile quarterback who doesn't really turn the ball over, and he's not going to allow you. But, you know, let him throw 20 times a game and see what he can do, and give him some big targets in the red zone, and that offense will probably be, you know, at least better than last year for sure.
Yeah, totally. So I think the Bills could at least be more entertaining this coming season. As to whether they'll win more games, I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. So
they'll be better. They'll be better coached, Dave. That's 100% certain.
That is. That's a guarantee. Yeah, definitely. Wouldn't it be funny though if the Bills started off like maybe they went like, you know, like 6-3 or 6-2 to start the year, and then you hear Rex like pounding his chest and say, "See, I could have coached that team to be 6-2 too." I'm like, "Yeah, get over yourself," you know.
I guarantee you it would happen, Dave. I guarantee you 1,000,000% it'll happen.
Absolutely. All right, so at number 11 in the first round of the NFL draft, we're with Ron in New Jersey tonight. I'm Dave Medina. This is the next pick. It goes to the New Orleans Saints, and everybody knows that the Saints defense is just terrible. So that's probably what they got to look at. Let's see what they do with the pick. All right, Ron, who do you have the Saints taken at 11?
I think they'll take Derek Barnett, the defensive end from Tennessee, who actually put up, you know, numbers that were almost twice as good as Myles Garrett in the SEC. All-time Tennessee sack leader, extremely productive, maybe a bit undersized, maybe not as good of an athlete, but Saints need pass rushers, and they need a lot of defense. So I'll have them taking Derek Barnett from Tennessee.
Now, that's a pretty solid choice. I'm going to go a little differently on this one. I have them taking Marlon Humphrey, the cornerback from Alabama. And because, you know, that was like the one thing they couldn't do at all, and pick cover guys.
Yeah.
So it would certainly help them out if they picked him. But if they had Barnett, also help, because they need a pass rush. So it's
they need everything on
they
defense,
do. Yeah, that's really know? True. They need everybody. They could draft them both. Yep. They could, you know. So anyway, here we go. We're up to the number 12 pick in the draft, and the Browns have it. And the origin to how they got this pick, I can't remember. Like because you know, like when teams get picks, usually they're traded from somebody else. And I wonder how they got the 12th pick too. But someone must have been some trade somewhere. So here it is.
They traded out of their pick last year. Correct?
Oh, okay.
At some point.
All righty.
And picked up a 2018 number one. What team is this for? Or who's originally supposed to get this pick?
That's why I think it's so funny, because like it doesn't mention it on the draft board like where it came from. So I'm gonna have to I'd have to really go to the
Minnesota
research.
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
Right?
Okay.
Was it Minnesota?
Let's take a look at that. That's a good question. You're right, though. They did trade with somebody. Brown.
When they traded out of the number two spot for Carson Wentz, right? Carson, the Eagles traded up last year to get Carson Wentz. They gave him the 2018 number one.
That's who it is.
So that's where their pick is, and then the Eagles traded Bradford to the Vikings for their number one.
Okay, so that's right. So it was gonna be the Eagles' pick. They traded it.
Yep.
And then they traded.
You know, clearly not an acceptable year, and I think going
okay,
back.
So that originally was gonna go to Philadelphia. At the very beginning, and then all that happened. That's true. They didn't make that trade. You know, it's interesting. I think you mentioned you had an endorsement of Bradford that year, and it wound up being right. Like, he ended up being pretty solid for at least a good part of the season. And so that,
yeah, I mean, he is what he is, right? He's an okay quarterback. Definitely not worth a first-round pick, but, you know, the way that team was constructed last year, I mean, they thought they were a playoff team. They obviously weren't, but that's a gamble you have to take, I guess, if you think you're on the verge of being a contender.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they'll be all right because Bridgewater should be on track to come back at some point very soon. And they have this great defense. I think they could be in a good spot. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the running back, though, because they let Peterson go to free agency. I'm trying to remember where he went. I can't remember. Do you remember?
Peterson signed with the Saints, and the Vikings signed Latavius Murray from the Raiders.
Okay. Well, that's a big drop-off. I mean, Murray had a good year, though, last year. Let's be fair. Like, he did have a nice year for Oakland.
Right.
In fact, that first half of the year was really impressive, actually. But I'm trying to think of what would happen if he was the guy, the number one. Well, that's the thing. I mean, in Oakland, there wasn't really a number one guy. Like, it was actually a trio of guys. So I'm hoping he does well. It just depends. I'm not keen on whether he'll have the same level of production, but if they give him enough carries, maybe he will. But he was productive, especially in fantasy football, and I can tell you that from firsthand experience. So,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Good stuff there. Then, let's see, who did I have there? No, I think I said they were going with Humphrey. Okay, so all this just to explain that the Browns have the 12th pick. So,
and you know what? Like I said before, Dave, I think that they are going to trade up out of this pick. They're going to trade up. This is my prediction for tomorrow. They're going to trade from 12 to 5 and take Trubisky. But for the sake of our draft, if they're still at 12 and Trubisky's there, that's who they're taking hands down. They get their quarterback of the future, who I don't think is going to be a big star, but apparently they like him. So I see them taking Mitch Trubisky there.
Yeah, I mean, in our mock drafts, he's still on the board. So they're really committed to taking this guy. I think they're going to take him, too. I don't like the idea of them taking it, but I think they are going to take him.
Yep.
No, seriously. I mean, and if they trade up from 12 to 5 just to get him, I mean, that is just absurd that he would be drafted number 5 overall. I mean, that is a roulette wheel.
It's a very Browns thing to do.
Yeah, no, exactly. It doesn't get any more Browns than that. It really doesn't. So, golly.
You know what, though? They have they've accumulated so many draft picks over the past year or so since they have their new front office there that if they wanted to, they have the ability to do it and not even bat an eyelash because they have so many draft picks that, you know, they could throw, you know, a couple draft picks to get up to number 5 and still have 7 or 8 more to pick from. So if they want to do it, they can do it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to get a good player out of that entire pile. I mean, I know that the 49ers had a historically bad draft in 2012 where they just picked nobody good. But I don't think... I don't think even the Browns can screw this up. That they'll get somebody good out of whatever many picks they have, and they have quite a few. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to the Cardinals at number 13. This is intriguing because one that can go any of a number of directions. So Ron, how do you see the Cardinals doing this pick?
Man, this is a tough one because this is a team. I don't think they have any glaring holes, to be honest with you. They're just a team that got snake bit last year. They had some injuries, and you know, it came down to earth a little bit. With they had a tough schedule. I think they have to start thinking about the future of quarterback. I think Carson Palmer's on his last legs. So this is a spot, and I don't know if it's going to be Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. I kind of think they would prefer Mahomes. You know, he's basically like a Carson Palmer light. But I refuse to believe that Deshaun Watson is going to get picked behind both Trubisky and Mahomes. So I'm going to give them Deshaun Watson from Clemson as their quarterback, and I think it's going to be a really good situation for him.
That would be really nice. And I think the Cardinals would definitely be having their heads on straight if they get it. I am going to take Mahomes as their pick because, as you mentioned, that seems to fit their offense better. I still think that Watson would be a better pick, though, even especially for the Cardinals, because that's just a – you got a guy with a great arm like that, and you can throw to guys like – and I don't know if he's still there, but I think Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, he's getting old, but, you know, he's a big dude. You can throw to him, and you can find him. So I think that would be just great. I think he would love it. I mean, he's played there before, the Fiesta Bowl, so
yeah,
I'm sure
he'd
feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, he could sit behind Palmer for a year, or, you know, probably not a whole year.
Yeah,
you know, Palmer's going to get hurt.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe for a game or two and, you know, step in. And I mean, if you think about it, if they did take him and you think about the future of that team, they would have Deshaun Watson and David Johnson in the same backfield.
Ooh.
I mean, that's pretty deadly.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so good. And I think...
Yeah, they instantly... They become a much watched team if that happens.
I agree, and I think as it is, Arizona feels like the team to beat in the NFC West if they go this route, and he pans out too. Boy, they're set for the next 5 years. Wow,
under Arians, they've been a really good franchise. So good franchises do moves like that. So it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, I'll be rooting for that. I mean, that'd be fun. And maybe it could even... It's close enough where I could drive over there to see a game. I haven't done it yet, but one of these years I will. So,
Well, now you're going to be able to, see him in Los Angeles.
That's true. That's actually
true.
Rams, I didn't think of that. I could actually just drive down the street and go find... and see them play a game against the Rams. I almost said St. Louis.
Yeah. Or if they play the Chargers.
Or they play the Chargers at their tiny little StubHub arena, StubHub Center. Man, that's... I want to go to a game there just to see what it's like. Because it's just got to be absurd. Just be a 20,000 seat. I don't even know if it's 20. Like, it's like a 27,000 seat facility. That's barely enough to fit the sidelines, but we'll see how they pull it off.
You know, I feel bad for our buddy Yachts, but I mean, they are a franchise that is almost on par with the Jets and the Browns in terms of the idiotic moves that they pull in. That move is number one.
Yeah,
is probably the first move up there that is just ridiculous. You know, but that's for another show for another time. But what a waste of a franchise.
Yeah.
They are San Diego.
They absolutely. I don't think. No, we've never cared about the Chargers that much up here. Like, we just don't feel like we never got that excited about them. They've been put them on TV all the time. People still watch the Raiders more. It was just
right.
You know, so it never got traction. And yet, Spanos is just literally out of options, is what it is. Like, I don't think he necessarily wanted to do it, but it's just that he could not get his act together to get a stadium or something else to work for the Chargers.
Yeah.
They have no identity here.
Yeah, I think it was Yachts who said it, and he was 100% right. They should have been the team that went to Las Vegas, and the Raiders should have been the team that went to L.A.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense.
They would have at least something going to Las Vegas. Raiders in Las Vegas will end up being a pretty successful venture, but... The Chargers going there would have been great because, like, for their purposes, it works out terrifically. They will have, a clean slate, effectively, and they would have almost no competition. That NHL team that I refuse to acknowledge at this point, but I guess there's going to be one next year or whenever. Yeah,
next
I guess it'd be next year.
Yeah.
It is next year, yeah, because they've got the arena. But so, and I was, how obscure it has come to me? How difficult it's been for me to recognize this team. I saw tweets about the Golden Knights in Vegas, and like, Golden Knights? I thought it was a college team or something. Like, what are they talking about? That's the NHL team.
It's called
the
Golden Knights. Yeah, that's because their owner is an Army guy. So
that is very
he couldn't he for some reason he couldn't name it the Black Knights because, you know, that was the name of the Army football team. So he switched it up and named it the Golden Knights.
There's a problem with this I have, especially in the division that they're going to end up playing in. You can't have Knights and Kings in the same division. It just doesn't. You're gonna. It's just like lesser. It's like lesser Kings. It's not as good as the Kings. I don't know how they're gonna pull that off. I mean, the rest of that division is identifiable, distinct names like Oilers, and you have the Flames, and you have the Ducks, and you have the Kings. I mean, they don't really have a whole lot to do with one another. I mean, the Sharks and the Ducks come closest because they're aquatic creatures, but I guess you could call the Knights like the cousin, the long distant, you know, illegitimate cousin of the Kings or something like that. I have no idea. It's gonna be weird.
You know, they had like a list of names that they were choosing from, and to be honest with you, I can't remember what they were, but I do remember thinking that the Golden Knights was the best because some of the other ones were just fucking horrendous.
I can imagine.
Horrendous, yeah. And I can't remember off the top of my head what they were, but I mean, it was bad.
I would like to look at this
bad,
list.
So.
I'll look it up while we do some more of these picks. Golden.
Yeah. They definitely, I remember for a fact they had it like down to three or four names and they were all terrible. So, I mean, either way, you're getting a bad, bad name for the franchise.
Oh, man. All right. So, well, yeah, I guess Deadspin had that story. They really, well, whatever. I mean, what could you can't really use like anything true to Vegas because I feel like it could be inappropriate. Like, you can't call them the hookers. You can't call them the gamblers.
Yeah,
exactly. You can't use the gamblers. Right. And so it was not going to happen. So it's probably the best I could do. All right. So let's get to the next pick. The Eagles. And this is, says Eagles from Vikings 14. So that's interesting. I guess that was part of the trade. That was another aspect of the trade that we were talking about earlier. So So let's see. What do we have for the Eagles? They got a lot of choices here, Ron. Where do you have them going?
Yeah, I think in my draft that we're doing now, I have Reuben Foster sitting there. So I think he would be – I know he's sliding down a lot. You know, he had the fight at the combine. He had the positive test at the combine. He has some medical issues, but the guy is probably one of the top five talented players in the draft. Eagles need a middle linebacker, so I think they will go Reuben Foster from Alabama.
Okay, so now I think I picked Foster earlier in the podcast, so I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Let's see. I got to pick someone here, so let's see. Foster.
I think you took him to
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. So let's see. I didn't pick Barnett yet, so I'll go Barnett for the Eagles.
That's a good pick. They need edge rushers. They need cornerbacks. They need a linebacker. So you can't go wrong with that pick.
Yep. All right. So we'll just do a couple more of these, and then we'll wrap it up tonight. So let's go down to the Colts, who have been mismanaging these drafts for quite a while. They needed defense in the worst way. What did they end up doing? They ended up getting some other guy. I forgot who it was. It was just dumb. But let's go to the Colts at number 15. Ron, what do you think the Colts will do at 15?
I think they'll take Marlon Humphrey, the cornerback from Alabama. You're right. They need defense in the worst way. You know, they signed a bunch of guys this offseason. I don't think anybody, you know, is real ground. I mean, they got Haskins, the defensive tackle from the Giants. Jabal Sherrod they got from the Patriots. But they still need help all over that defense. So I'll have them taking the cornerback from Alabama, Humphrey.
Okay. And I think they might want to go with someone, let's see, you had them taken, the Barnett's taken in your draft, Barnett's taken in mine. I think what they'll do, this is a little out of the box, I think they'll reach a little bit and pick Jonathan Allen, similar position as Barnett, but we'll have them take Allen from Alabama. So I have them taking Jonathan Allen, defensive end.
He would be great value there and definitely an upgrade to anything that they have.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, their defense is another defense that's just so bad. I mean, it is interesting to think about how many bad defenses there were in the NFL last year. And I'm like, who are the good defenses? And I'm like, well, maybe like two or three.
There's not many.
No, not many, right?
Yeah.
So, is pretty bad. So this could improve a lot of teams, this draft class. So we could be in for quite a good replenishment across the board. That's probably where I'll finish. Well, we got the Ravens, another team that can't play defense. So let's see, who do you have them picking at 15?
I think they'll actually go wide receiver, and Corey Davis from Western Michigan give Flacco. I don't even know who their receivers are. Who the hell are their receivers?
You know, I honestly should know this.
Steve Smith. Steve Smith.
He came back.
Yeah, right. He's retired.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to retire now. So I don't even know who they have left anymore. So
yeah.
I'll say that they take Corey Davis from Western Michigan.
I think they're going to have to. I mean, Flacco depends on that long pass to a receiver like 80 yards downfield, throwing a wiffle ball. How are you going to do that without a receiver? So I think they got to pick him. So we'll have the same pick there. Okay, so let's get down to number 17, the Washington Redskins. They seem to be doing okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, they're trying. I guess that's my point. They're trying. You know, at least they're trying with these draft picks. So we'll see what they end up doing with this. Ron, who do you have Washington picking?
That's a tough one. I guess I'll have them taken. Maybe this might be a little bit off the board. But I'll have them going Jared Davis, the linebacker from Florida. You know, they need a middle linebacker. You know, they, for all the shit that they got this offseason by losing guys and, you know, turning over the GM spot, they did sign some decent defensive players. So I think they'll stick to that side of the ball and take Jared Davis.
I think just for the sake of this podcast, I'm just going to agree with you on that, because I honestly don't. I literally have no idea. So we'll go with Jared Davis as well.
I don't blame you, man, because, once you get to this part of the draft, there's so many guys, and these teams have few holes because, they've made the playoffs, obviously, if they're picking this late, and, you know, they could go in any different direction.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just skip ahead and get a couple of these other teams, a couple of quick hitters. The Titans get another pick at number 18. What do you think they could do to augment their team with a second pick?
I think if they go defense at the top of the draft with pick 5, I think they'll go offense and look for another receiver for Mariota at this pick. And if they do that, the obvious selection is John Ross, the kid, the wide receiver from Washington, who broke the 40 record at the combine. Any help that that Mariota can get, on that offense is greatly needed. So I think they'd be wise to go in that direction.
Yeah, it's a good that is a good spot, definitely. And let's skip ahead a little more. The Cowboys have drafted very well the last few years. Where do you see them? And they're not going to have much to work with. They're at number 28. So who do you have them selecting in the first round?
They need defense. They need cornerbacks, safeties, pass rushers. I think that at that point in the draft, two names to keep an eye on for them, I think. Well, a few names. I think if they go pass rusher, it's probably going to be somebody like Taco Charlton, the defensive end from Michigan. If they go cornerback at that point, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Adoree Jackson from USC. And, of course, I know he's falling, and he had the positive test at the combine, but wouldn't shock me if Jabril Peppers was the pick there either.
Ooh, Peppers, Yeah. You know, I was curious about what you thought of Peppers as well, because some were high on him for pro prospects, some are not. And I was wondering where you were. I think I just forgot. Like, I think you told me, but I forgot.
Peppers, it's such a tough call because he's a tweener, right? I mean, he's got the size. He'd be a small linebacker. He's kind of a big safety. But I think he's going to play safety in the NFL. The knock on him was that he wasn't going to be fast enough to play that. But he ran a really good 40 at the combine. Now we know it's probably because he was on roids or something, but, But, you know, I think his value before the positive test was probably somewhere between 15 and 25. I think maybe now he slips a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if he's picked anywhere from pick 25 to the middle of the second round. You know, any of those picks wouldn't surprise me.
Cool stuff there, Mr. Biebs. I would also add, and I think, because what we said about Peppers is he's a great two-way player, but I think something that John said on our podcast previous, something I agree with because I've seen it myself, and I feel like personally, Adoree Jackson is probably like all the stuff that Peppers can do and more. Like, I think he's like a better version of Peppers, if you can believe that. And I think many experts may kind of see that the same way. The mock drafts don't have Peppers in the first round, as far as I can see. So that could wind up being the case. And then you even mentioned that when you were making the pick. So an interesting spot there. Let's see. Let's talk about my team, because I've never really asked you this, because we don't usually get this far on the draft in the draft board. So for the Steelers, I think they need some help on defense. I mean, that's clear. Specifically, yeah. I feel like they need edge rushers, so I'm thinking they're probably going to go with a defensive end. But the other position that they need is cornerback, which they sort of addressed last year, but they can get another one. I think if they have a better cornerback available, get the cornerback. So I think it's an interesting call. Where would you have them selecting if depending on who's available, obviously, but where do you think they would pick with that pick?
I think you hit the nail on the head with two spots. You know, they got Artie Burns last year from Miami in the first round, and he actually turned out to be pretty decent at cornerback. They need somebody opposite him, so cornerback would be one spot to look at. And you're right, they need somebody to rush the quarterback. You know, they took Jarvis Jones from Georgia a couple years ago, and he was a flop. I could see them going Tack McKinley, the defensive end from UCLA, who, you know, you look at him, you watch his highlights. I mean, the guy has a nonstop motor, seems like a very Steeler type of player. And I think he's a safer pick than Jarvis Jones was. I think it would be a perfect fit if Tack McKinley, if he was there and if he fell that far to go to the Steelers, I think that would be a pretty good get.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are a couple choices here, and I really would like to see McKinley drop that far. That'd be really, really nice. The Steelers are picking at 30th. So it's, I mean, not terrible odds, but not great either. So there's a chance. We'll see what happens. If he's not on the board, then Taco Charlton from Michigan. So get the Taco Man in there. Crunch, crunch.
There you go.
If that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And if neither of them are on the board, then it gets interesting. I'm not really sure what they do. I guess probably Adoree Jackson, but I do not anticipate that he would still be on the board at 30th. But if he is, hey, why not?
You know, it's a good year to be in the need for pass rushers and cornerbacks, because there's going to be a million of the guys out there. And, you know, there's definitely going to be a couple that fall down to where the Steelers are picking. So, you know, just like last year, they needed a cornerback and there's a big run on them. And, you know, they took Artie Burns, who was basically at the end of the run, and they, you know, they made out with that pick. So, they're a smart football team. They're a smart franchise. So they could take any of the pass rushers, McKinley, Charles Harris, Taco Charlton, TJ Watt even, whoever might fall that far. And, you know, they should do well with the pick.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think it's sort of a win-win. I feel like it's a win-win situation for Pittsburgh. You know, having a good year, they know they need these areas of improvement, and they're going to be in pretty good position to get that. So we'll take a look at that tomorrow as we commence our draft coverage on the various networks. So Ron, any final thoughts on the draft? I mean, any sleepers that you might see that might rise up the ranks that you haven't addressed already?
Sleepers. Who do I think could be a good sleeper? You know, there's a kid out of Eastern Washington, a wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, who is probably going to go in the second and third round. I think he has a chance to be somebody who, you know, we hear more of starting next year. And a lot of the tight ends. I mean, there's a lot of good tight ends just in this year's draft. Ones that are probably going to fall to the third or fourth, and running backs. There's a lot of decent running backs. I'll give you another running back who I loved in college, who isn't getting a lot of publicity in the draft process, and is kind of like a third or fourth rounder that I've seen, and that's Marlon Mack from South Florida. I mean, he was a guy who just took over games in college, and I know he's a bit undersized, but he ran well, and he's still if he goes in the third round, I think some team's going to get a pretty good running back there.
That's awesome. I mean, the opportunities available for those positions are great, and I look forward to seeing how that plays out. It's what's really fun about the NFL is that you do get a number of players who come from small schools who end up having big careers, and we can cite many different examples. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson. Well, actually, he came from TCU. That's not that small school, but maybe it was at the time though.
Yeah, they were pretty bad when he was there. I mean, they were at the bottom of the barrel. So at the time of that pick, it was definitely surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. And another one, my guy Ben Roethlisberger, he came from Miami of Ohio. I mean, they were a nothing program then. So South Florida is actually on the upper level of that. I mean, they're in the AAC, so it's not like they're a bad team or they're in a bad conference at all. They actually get decent coverage. You see them on ESPN every now and again. So,
right. That's the beauty of college football, right? And the beauty of what we do in the in the fall time with the Pick'em podcast is, we get a chance to watch because we're making the picks, but we get a chance to watch the MAC teams and the AAC teams and stuff like that, and we get a chance to see these kids play. So. Come draft time, it's fun to see where they go and how highly they're thought of. So, it ties everything together. It's definitely gives you more incentive to pay attention to the college football.
Oh yeah, and we'll definitely put a focus on that coming August when John and the rest of us, the two of us, come back and do the college preview. I better get my prep started, right? I mean, we've only got 4 months. I got a lot of teams to talk to read about, so.
I just saw that before. It's 4 months to the night that college football opens.
That's exciting. That really is. Now, it's too early to really make this call, but if you had a team that you would think that would be the team to beat going into 2017, who would that team be? And this is really early. Like I don't even know if the recruits have been completely announced yet. I know that we haven't even had like the practices. They barely did the spring games just a couple weeks ago, so... with so much still to be decided, like who would you have? And it really is based on like who's got returning starters and so on. But who would you have at this early stage? And again, this is going to be a different prediction in like 4 months, I know. But from what you know now, is there anyone that stands out to you that's the team that could be the one to beat?
Yeah, actually, I've thought about this a lot, to be honest with you. I think there's two, Alabama and USC. I think Alabama is going to be loaded again with a bunch of guys who are going to be first round picks next year. And USC has a favorable schedule, and you count me in as a Sam Darnold believer. That kid showed poise and guts and every other adjective you could throw at him last year. So to me, those are my two top teams, and it probably won't change from now until we have the show in August. But those would be my two top teams heading into next year.
From the early look at it, it's two teams with layers of talent, and I can certainly with Darnold, it has been just a remarkable, incredible, really really fun year. And to have a whole season of that, I mean, that's potential that you can really just shoot through the roof. It's really exciting. So I look forward to covering that in more detail with you and John coming up in a little bit. But for now, enjoy the draft, and may it be a good time. I don't know if you watched the whole thing, but certainly there'll be a lot of juice as there were last year because of the depth. There's going to be a lot of there should be a lot of stuff to cover. So and good luck to the Jets, too, because, like, as you mentioned, they are one of number of teams that need a lot of help. So I think it's just like you can't screw this up. Like how would you screw this up? And there's, I mean, they'll find a way. Like some of these teams, like,
they'll find a way. There's a way to screw it up, Dave. It's called Mitchell Trubisky. So, you know, I'll tell you a funny story. Last year, when their first round pick came up, you know, I remember the NFL. I was watching the NFL Network, and they were nailing all the picks, you know, right before it was announced. And you know, with the Jets, they said, you know, Hackenberg, we're hearing things he might go here. And when they announced Darren Lee, I mean, it was like the biggest relief that I've ever had in my life as a Jet fan. You know, thank God we didn't get Hackenberg. Thank the Lord we didn't get Hackenberg. And the next night, I think I was out with family or something like that, and I happened to check my phone to see who they got in the second round. And what do you know, it was Christian fucking Hackenberg.
No.
It was just a delay in the inevitable. So
oh, God.
If one team can fuck up a draft, it's the Jets. So yeah. Don't put it past them.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. You just never know. So, well, we'll see it all unfold on Thursday night. Ron, have a great weekend and all the best to your family and everything. So we'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, thanks, Dave. It was good jumping on with you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bud. Take it easy.
Later, buddy.
All right, that's Ron in New Jersey, and that's our program tonight. Really, really a good time. And I tell you, this is going to be not a lot of flash, but I think a lot of substance when it comes to this year's draft. So we will see who ends up getting who in NFL teams across the board. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Really good to get the insight of our guru, Ron, in New Jersey. Thank you, Ron. Hope you all enjoyed it here on the program tonight. If you want to see more from us, you can visit our website, www.didcow.com, or follow us on Twitter, @didcow. Until then, we're happy to be employed. We'll see you next time.